I'm here.
Okay, we just looked at your video, and so we got up to speed with where you've been for the last few months. So could you just tell us how things have been going?
Sure. Well, we're at a good, exciting part of the ministry. We're getting ready to start our first church. We signed a contract on a building just on Monday, and the building used to be a bar, so we're turning it into a church. So this week I've been ripping out the bar and doing the construction work and getting it ready for the chairs and everything that belongs in a church, not the bar stuff. So that's exciting, and got several families interested in the church, and they want to come and be part of it, so we're excited. That's what we've been doing.
All right, terrific. So how has the adjustment been? Can you describe the last 7 or 8 months?
Sure. Life here compared to our life in America is not too much different. I just don't know what they're saying when they talk to you. That's about all. But there's not too much of an adjustment.
So as far as getting a church started, you're in language school, right? So is the church going to be an English-speaking church right now, or what is the plan?
Yes, I'm working with a national. His name's Jonathan, and he obviously knows the language, and he's fluent in English. And him and I will be working together. He'll be my translator. And then so I'll go to language school in the day and do the church at night and on Sundays and all that. So that's the plan. And working with him, God brought us together, and we're going with it. So
how did that come to be? How did you get together with him?
I met him in 2012, my first trip to Hungary. And, that was several years ago. So over the years, we've developed a friendship. So it's a good fit.
Now, are there many? How many churches are in the area, or how far is it to the next Bible preaching church where you're going to be based?
Sure. The next one is also in Budapest. It's about an hour and a half away, and it's on the opposite end of the city. There's only 7 or 8 independent Baptist churches in the country, so there's few to choose from. Where I'm currently living, 2 hours to the closest church. So we'll be moving next summer with the new church plant.
Okay, great. So, I mean, perhaps not everyone in our congregation here necessarily knows the spiritual climate in Hungary. So I'm assuming it's very secular.
You're breaking it out. I didn't hear the question.
The spiritual climate in Hungary, it's pretty secular there?
Sure, it's very secular. There's churches, buildings everywhere, but they don't know anything about the Bible. Most people don't believe in God. As you talk with them, they're not interested, have no desire. So it's just a matter of the Holy Spirit convicting them.
So you probably didn't hear that, but the question was the history of religion in Hungary. What was the predominant religion, and how has that come to be now? Go ahead.
Sure. Hungary is it's a Christian nation, but they mean Catholic by saying it's Christian. And in the year 1000, there was a big war, and the King Stephen won the war, and he declared it to be a Christian nation. So if you were to ask a Hungarian, they would tell you they're Christian. But that's just because they're Hungarian, not because of Christ.
So as you witness to people, what are the big obstacles that you face?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
As you are witnessing, we saw in the video that you're passing out tracts, things like that. How do the people receive it? I mean, what are the obstacles?
The same obstacles as there in New England. They're steeped in their traditions, and even if they don't go to church, they say they go to church. The same obstacles, same sin, same sin problems. So you just become friends with them and get to know them and earn their trust, and they'll come after that.
Could you tell us a little bit about the story we saw where they were teaching the kids the Jesus Loves Me in English?
Sure. That was a church down the street from our house. My family, my kids were invited to the VBS there. It's actually a Reformed church that they were in, and they were excited about the English. So they learned the English. The Hungarian kids learned the English, and my kids learned some Hungarian. But at the same time, my kids were given the gospel, and all the kids there received the gospel there, and it was a good time for them, and learn the language, make friends, and share the gospel. That's what it's all about.
All right, anybody else? Questions for Brother Mann? Anybody? Question is, how big is Budapest?
It's about 1 million people. The entire area of Budapest is about 2 million, but Budapest itself is about 1 million. From where our new church is, there's 800,000 people in a 10-mile radius.
Is the gov How is the government as far as religious freedom and the treatment of the people?
Sure. It's a good question. There's no restraints on religion at all. We don't need any permit to be a church building. We just need to pay the rent. That's all we got to do. So, and the government they don't bother you at all.
All right, somebody else, they have a question. Yeah, we saw a little bit about that in the video. You guys have immersed into some of the cultural traditions. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, a lot of those pictures were the food. There's different goulashes, which are soup-based beans and potatoes and different things, but they have a certain what's the word I want to use? I guess rituals that they go through when they do their food, as far as cooking, and it's not American, it's not barbecue, that's for sure, but it's all good stuff. It comes from many years ago when it was just farmland everywhere and sheeps and cattle, and they would open up a fire out in the prairie and cook their soup. So it kind of comes from that, but they'll throw whatever they can into there and call it lunch.
So you talked earlier about building relationships with people, gaining trust. Are there cultural opportunities there for you to do that around holidays or around different customs, maybe having people in homes, or what is that like?
Sure. Just, everyday life, going to the store, and I try and go to the same store so they get to know you. And when you're the American, it's not hard to remember. So just build relationships that way. Being in the new area with the new church, I went to a McDonald's today and had a good conversation with a boy, and he spoke English, and he wanted to speak English, and he said, "I have no one to speak English with." So that opens up an opportunity to spend time with him in the future, and hopefully lead him to Christ. But just going out and talking with people and getting to know them, building relationships and things like that.
Great. So what is the people's reaction to an American being there as a missionary?
I heard the question, the reaction to.
To you being there as a missionary, because they probably don't meet missionaries every day.
Oh, no, not at all. They don't know, understand. Their view of America is we're rich. And why would we leave wealth for their economy? The average person makes $500 a month, and that's a good income. So they don't understand. But every time they say, "Why are you here?" that's an opportunity to give the gospel, because the gospel is the only reason why I'm here.
Somebody else, question. So that you mentioned that they don't make much money. What do they do for work?
Sure. There's a lot of new businesses coming in. There's a lot of grocery stores like Aldi's, and there's a Lidl, which is similar to Aldi's, things like that. So there's a lot of farming, tons of farming. There's a lot of pharmaceutical type jobs. There's automotive. There's a Toyota plant. There's a Mercedes-Benz. They have their own car called the Opel brand, which is a Hungarian brand. So there's a lot of factories like that. But even with the jobs that are here, there's not a lot of jobs that go around. So there's a lot of unemployment as well. I think it's around 30% unemployment. I haven't looked at that figure in a while, but it's close to that.
So are those people cared for by the government? Is there a lot of homelessness or poverty?
You know, actually, they have a great plan for that. They have a welfare program, but in order to get the money, you have to work for it. It's really something America should look at as I think about it. But basically, the people on the welfare, they'll get, let's say, 2 months of free money, and then after that, they have to clean the streets. So you see a lot of people sweeping the sidewalks and trimming trees, and those are the welfare people that don't have jobs. So it's a very clean country because of that. So.
Yeah, I bet. Are there many women in the workforce there?
You know, I don't know for sure the statistics, but I would say yes.
So that actually makes me think of another question. What is the state of the family in Hungary? Are there traditional families, or are they seeing the same dysfunction like we do in the States?
You know, most people don't get married here in Hungary. They have a common law marriage. If you live together so long, then you're legally married. But there's, you know, outside of the spiritual one man, one woman, God ordained family, there's no reason to get married for them. There's no benefit government-wise, health-wise. The health system is by the government. They don't have 14 different companies that they can choose from. It's only through the government. Most of the marriages that you would think this couple's married, they may not actually be married. They just live together and have kids. So that's kind of the status of the family.
So is there, with that, do they see, I mean, even though they're not married, are children growing up with both parents in their home, or is there a lot of separation and single parenthood?
It's the same in the States. There's some that stay together and many that don't. Divorce is very high, but it's not too much different from the States.
Okay. What have you learned from maybe veteran missionaries that you've interacted with since you've been there?
Well, right now I'm actually in the house of a veteran missionary. He's been on the field for 20 years. And, you know, every time I'm with him, I learn something about the Hungarian people. They hold on to their beliefs, whether they're right or wrong. So as they do start coming to the church and you teach them the truth of God's word, they may turn against it and say it's not true, and then they go back to their old church or whatever. So they just hold on to their traditional values. So it just requires a lot of patience to work with them and constantly teaching the same basic doctrines over and over again. That's one thing I've learned from the veteran.
What is the average size of a Bible preaching church in Hungary?
I'm sorry, the average size of what?
A church, a gospel preaching church in Hungary.
Probably 10 people.
Wow.
So you're looking at less than 100 independent Baptist people in the whole country.
You mentioned the VBS at the Reformed Church. Are there many other children's outreaches, camps, or things like that?
There is. There's the church I'm with now here in Sonoke. They do a Bible camp every year, and or not a Bible camp, a baseball camp, where they play baseball and then they have Bible devotions, and they do that every summer, and they get, you know, 100 kids will come to the baseball camp, and once a month they do an English outreach where they have everything is done in English, and they have maybe 30 kids that will come to that. But the kids won't come on regular services. There has to be something for them to come to, a program of some type. So,
in the Catholic churches there, are they well attended anymore?
I don't think they are. I haven't gone to the Catholic church, so I don't know. But as far as I know, they don't. A lot of the churches I drive by, they're all chained up. Even the windows will be boarded up, so I don't think they're used.
Well, somebody else, a question for him. This is a bit of a historical question. One of our members mentioned seeing a recent documentary that there was a million Jews were killed by Hitler in World War II in Hungary. Is there much talk of that these days? Is there still a Jewish population there?
There is a Jewish population. In fact, in Budapest, the largest synagogue of Europe is in Budapest. There's, I believe, somewhere around 400,000 Jews in Hungary today. I'm not positive on that number, but it's somewhere around there. There's many museums for the Jews that were killed there, the million Jews. There's many memorials all throughout the city to remember them. And it's, you know, the gospel is to the Jew first, as Paul says. So there's, as we start our new church, we'll be reaching out to the Jews in the area as well. So I'll be learning more about where they're at here shortly. It's a good question.
Is there any, along a follow-up on that question, is there, as you're hearing about anti-Semitism in Europe in different places, are they experiencing that in Hungary?
Not to my knowledge. There hasn't been any movements of that kind towards anti-Jews.
Is there, are they dealing with some of the immigration problems that other parts of Europe are dealing with now?
That's a great question. The Hungarians dealt with the immigration problem. That was 2014 was kind of the height of that. In 2015, it was pretty bad. But the Hungarians, they don't mess around, just their personalities. So they put up a wall, a big fence, and they kept the people out. And it worked.
Imagine that. Wow. Now, with that, though, are there, because it's obviously, there's two sides to the, when we think about that, as far as reaching people that are refugees or immigrants, have any churches that you know of been able to, I mean, is there a large minority population that you're able to minister to?
Sure, there are a few refugee camps in Hungary. Most of them have been closed down. I think all of them will be closed down soon. There is a church, the other church in Budapest, that had a big outreach to the refugee camp, and he would go and just, he was not allowed inside the camp, but he could stand outside the camp and he would witness to them. And many were saved and many baptized, and then they would go on through Europe. But for the most part, the refugee camps have been closed down.
Yeah, is there much, what is the Hungarian pride is regarding their patriotism, their history, all the wars that have taken place there? Tell us a bit about that.
Sure. Let me give American history first to give a comparison. If you remember, many years ago, California, Texas, New Mexico, all of that was part of Mexico. It was all one area. It was similar here in Hungary. The size of Hungary was 4 or 5 times what it was. But this was like 2,000 years ago. But they still hold on to the fact that their borders are bigger than what they really are. And they have bumper stickers that are the old Hungarian borders. So they're very proud of what it used to be. And they hold on to that. They have I don't want to say hatred, but a high dislike for other countries. They're very proud of their language because it's very unique. It's not, you know, like Spanish is all over the world just about. But Hungarian is in Hungary. So they're very proudful with that. My car is actually registered to a Romanian friend of mine. So as I drive around, people look at me and cut me off worse than they should just because I have Romanian plates. So they're very proud to be Hungarian.
So you mentioned language. So if I could go back to language, what is your anticipated length of study and what are the big difficulties?
Sure. If you would ask a Hungarian, they will tell you the Hungarian language is the language of heaven because it takes an eternity to learn. So I don't know my anticipation of actually mastering the language. I am getting better at it every day. And the more I'm around Hungarian, the more I pick up on it. Where we live now, we're living for free. It's in another missionary home, but it's secluded from all the major towns. It's an hour and a half to the closest town. So once we move to Budapest next year, I'll be able to go to school probably 3 days a week. And my language will excel at that point.
And your children, are they learning the language currently?
They're not. They're doing their homeschooling right now. Next fall, I'm going to put them in language school so they can learn it as well and get them around other kids to learn from it as well. So this past few months, we've just been settling in and getting accustomed to a new life. So.
Yeah, and what are the kids, how are they adjusting?
Oh, they love it here. You know, they can get around the store and they know enough of the language to say thank you and ask questions like, where's the bathroom or how much is this and things like that. So, you know, we're not isolated completely with the language, but they really enjoy it here.
Hey, Brother Jason, this is Brother Malachuk. I've got one last, we're running out of time, and I wanted to just ask you one last question. And
sure.
I guess what I'm really looking for is an answer to the question really from your heart.
I'm sorry, the microphone cut out.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one last question, and I just want you to share your heart with us. So here is the question. Can you hear me?
I can, yes, okay. Sir.
So this afternoon when we have our business meeting, I'm recommending to the church that we take you and your family on for support as one of our missionary families.
Amen.
So what I'm asking you is this. You tell us why we should invest in you and your family in the country of Hungary in light of the fact that so few Hungarians come to Christ.
Well, I believe Paul says best that they don't have the faith because they haven't heard the faith because they haven't been sent. So my church has sent me to Hungary to tell them of the faith and to share them the gospel. And to effectively do that, we ask other churches to help us with that. And faith comes by hearing. So they don't accept Christ because they don't hear the gospel. So the more support, the more churches behind us, the more prayer we have from churches, then the more we can do for the gospel of Christ. And, you know, I that's the best I can think of for that answer is just the furtherance of the gospel, partnering with us. You know, God will take care of my family. It's the gospel that needs to be preached, and it's the gospel that needs to be lifted up and pushed, and that just takes finances. And so that's why we ask other churches to partner with us, is to get the gospel out.
And a last follow-up to that, just remind our folks how it is and what circumstances God used in your life to burden your heart for the Hungarian people.
Sure. I was in the sixth grade when God called me to be a church planter. And fast forward to 2012, many years later, I visited the country. I was in the middle of Bible college, not sure where God wanted me to be a pastor, to be a missionary, what exact calling God had for me. But I knew I'd be a preacher. I knew that God called me to preach and to share the gospel. When I visited the country and I saw the great need here in the country, God burdened me for it. And it's a burden that he has not released me from. And I don't see any evidence that he will release me from the burden for the country. I drive through the country often, four or five times a week. I drive through the villages and I just beg God to send more help, send more laborers, send more gospel preaching witnesses to this country to reach it. And, you know, God's divine and he has a plan. And part of that plan is for us to share the gospel one-on-one. But if the gospel's not here, then they can't hear it. So that's,
amen.
That's my burden.
All right. Well, listen, we are out of time, and thank you so much for giving us your time today. It's 6 hours.
Thank you for your time, preacher.
Yeah, we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to close out our Sunday school. So we'll just have you join us in a word of prayer, if that's okay. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Mann family. Thank you for their willingness to go to a country that desperately needs to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray and ask that you would truly watch over them, meet all of their needs, help them as they are just adjusting to a different culture. And we're so thankful for already the progress that they've made. We ask your blessing upon this building that they're going to transform into a building that preaches the gospel, and use Brother Jason and his family in a very great and mighty way. We look forward, Lord, with great expectation, anticipating Hungarians to come to Christ, that your power would be upon them, and your protection would be upon them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.